Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Hello, my name is Almeen, and we're going to share this hour together with lots of questions and answers about all sorts of topics that pertain to the cutting edge of mysticism and the glorious ascension that is taking place on our planet. So we have with us today Rogier, and I'm always so grateful when he helps me. I'm fine if it's just myself and my listeners, but it makes life a lot easier and it creates a more diverse end product because he thinks of questions and you think of questions that you send him that is perhaps something that I haven't even thought about. Rogier, thank you. And what would you like us to talk about?
In the last episode, you were when I was asking about the oracles and how the information was accessed and coordinated, you actually touched upon, I think, the architecture and such of this City of Lights, and you suggested it would be a good idea to look at that in a future episode, so here I am asking about it.
Okay, yes, you're right. So we have got I gathered it together because I knew we would be speaking about it today. Example of what I spoke about last week. This is from the Oracle of the White Dove. Yesterday, a giant approached me. He handed me a white daisy flower with a yellow center. And incidentally, my brothers and sisters, we have just photographed a huge giant strolling across my classroom during the time of the entry of the wonderful bird tribes and the other Kachinas as they came home, which we've mentioned in our previous shows. One of the giants was in charge of 12 of the little beings. Mother had asked him to take care of them, and we were able to photograph him, and that should be up pretty soon in our book, in our website called Aruba Farina. So it says, he handed me a white daisy with a yellow center. I accepted it with gratitude and friendship and was told to look at the yellow center. As I looked, I was transported first through a thick, dense liquid substance and next through a thin, fluid liquid substance. Once I passed through them, I entered a very bright atmosphere. It was very clear with brilliant colors. I was taken to an area with huge, massive gold beams placed in an elaborate structure. I could also see gold brick tunnels woven through the structure. It went on for what seemed like miles. The giant leaned against one of the beams and smiled. I could feel great pride coming from him. The giant said he was on a team that created the foundation of the palace. The palace outlay is not actually discussed by the oracles. One of them has the outlay of the gardens in the very center. But my brothers and sisters, it is like concentric rings of a circle. And so in the very middle ring, there are gardens laid out in a specific, incredible geometrical pattern that one of the engineers actually was able to draw. So we have this incredible garden in the very middle and a ring around it. That ring is the habitat for mother and mother's and father and any offspring, immediate children that they may have or produce in the future. I know that that used to be the goddess of material life will be living there and so on. So that is mother's immediate family and that is where they live. Let me tell you my own experience with what is in that first ring. Because mother showed me this when it was just being constructed. And none of the oracles have made it into this first ring. So let's work from the first ring and we go outwards. So the ring of mother, I was able to see the nursery. And there were multiple chambers for little children. And the nursery had rounded ceilings, gentle rounds, not like a dome, but more of just a gentle rounding. The little baby cribs had live butterflies flying above them. And it was an illusion, not real actual creatures, but in magic, the illusion of the little butterflies flying around above them like a mobile. There was, I recall a totally white nursery with a pink and apple green rose pattern on it. There were roses in the wallpaper, or the walls. It wasn't paper, it was the walls. But they looked three-dimensional. There's a type of art where they draw, it's called Triomphe de l'œil, I think, I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's Triumph of the Eye, where they make murals that look three-dimensional. It looks like you're looking out into a garden. Well, there were roses climbing up pillars around it. And then there were large windows that could only open. I didn't see if they could open, actually, but there were large windows that looked out onto the inner garden. The inner garden was a place where the little small unicorns are. The next ring of garden around the outside of it is actually where the larger unicorns and the Pegasus are. But the little tiny ones, and there were only, I think, 300 of them left, or maybe there were only 50, I can't remember. It's in the Book of the Unicorns. But I think the total number of unicorns were 300, and the small ones were 50 left. But I might be mistaken. But anyway, the small ones are in that middle garden. And then the dome of the nursery in this one room mirrors the passages of light. Like there would be a time when the little babies go to sleep, then it gently makes the sunset colors on the ceiling, and then eventually it makes the stars and the moon. And it's as though the moon is changing its phases and so on, everything in this one nursery room. There are roses in this one room climbing up the sides of the little bed. But if baby fingers reach for it, it will be like they just reach right through it. It's just light. And so there was an apple green nursery, and there was a most beautiful peachy pink nursery, similar designs to the white one. That I saw. I saw a large, I would say about the size of a basketball court times four. So there would be a room that size, and it was also a rounded room from which rooms went out, and there was a large place. You can call it a study, but it isn't a study. It had magical objects in it that I did not understand, but it was Father's room where he is alone when he wishes to see the spheres, when he wishes to gaze out over the earth. And he wishes to tune in on any place on earth, he can see it. So think of it as a study, but it was for Father. There was incredible texture in that room and depth and feeling of solidness, whereas there's this etheric feeling, you know, little birds would chase each other across this fake sky, if you will, this magical sky in the nurseries, very airy feeling. This had a cloistered feeling, wonderful gilt work and deep, deep fabrics and softness under the feet and a beautiful, huge couch for Father to sit on. It's his private sanctuary. I did not see Mother's bedroom and I did not see Father's bedroom. These are the rooms that I saw. Each nursery has a room next to it where there are angel caretakers that live there. And so the nursery keepers have their rooms right next to the baby's rooms. There are other rooms in that circle, but in that sphere, but I didn't see it. I just saw this sort of an anti-large room where doors open out from. Now, around that ring then, there is another ring of gardens. Nobody has drawn that, but the oracle Denisa got to see that. And she's our oracle of the Order of the Unicorns. And here is a description. I asked Mother if she wanted me to do anything, and she called me to her chamber and asked me to sit in front of her. Now, this chamber, my brothers and sisters, this chamber is in the second ring out. It's where Mother receives the goddesses and gods that work for her. So let's just actually, before we go there, let's look at the structure of it. The structure of it is concentric rings. The center garden, then the habitat ring for Mother and Father and their immediate ones they want around them. Then there's a garden ring. Around that is a ring where the gods and goddesses in physicality and the gods and goddesses in non-physicality that work for Mother and Father actively, the way that these oracles and so on are doing, that is where they will be staying. Also staying there are the 10,000 angels. You can imagine the size of this city. The 10,000 angels of the throne. And angels have family lives. They have husbands. They have wives. They produce offspring. We actually, you know, not in the same way that we do in the offspring, but we wrote about that in Secrets of the Hidden Realms. The immediate ones that serve Mother and Father are in the second ring out. In the third ring out is the administration of the holy city and the earthly government that is to come. That is where Mother has beings from all races that participate in the governing of the earth and cosmic interaction. Then there is a fourth ring out, and the fourth ring out are for all those most holy way showers that heard Mother's voice and responded to her and that were part of this path that before the Holy City comes about. They have earned the right to live in the Holy City because they believed in it and assisted with it and lived these truths before it came to be. That is their ring. There's a fifth ring, and that is for their families. Inner rings can go outwards. Outer rings can't come inwards. And there is actually no exception to that, other than where, you know, the Mother's direct servants are in the second ring out that serve her and Father and their children and so on, and they can come to the inner ring to do that. But unless it is part of their function, the inner rings go outwards. It doesn't, it's not the opposite way. Now, new rings have developed. In fact, I have in here a description from Denisa, the oracle, and she was talking about how much the city has grown. I know that these rings have grown, but I haven't seen what are in the other rings, and so I don't know what those are. The oracles, as they come back and forth, are also not really going into those other rings. As far as I can tell, they're coming into this very center ring. Let's take a quick break, and I will tell you what they see when they go to that second ring.
The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Al Mean. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today. The world of mysticism has yet another reason to rejoice. Al Amin has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016.
And I'll just actually take a little bit more time, and we'll go through some of these things in the city, if that's okay with you here, and stop me at any point if you have any questions, but we'll continue. So I received the following from the Oracle Denisa. She says, the holy city is continuously expanding. The section of the sacred libraries actually has a huge dome over it. The dome is multifaceted. See the libraries as they open. Mother is removing them into the city. So even though the sites where they've been is very holy, unless we've actually translated something out of them, then they would still be there if we haven't. But if we have, they move into the holy city. The holy city is, and so it has sacred libraries with a dome over it. The dome is multifaceted and has many tops and stained glass appearing windows. The many library sections fold out of the main section in many different shapes. Together they make a perfect pattern. Each of the libraries will have beings serving them so they can assist in finding information. In other words, we have librarians. These things are past. As these beings are past guardians and that have specific sacred information. Once someone wants to access the information with pure heart intent, the being will immediately know what they're looking for and will be able to supply them with it. There's a second vision. Today I was blessed with a visit to the holy city of Mother. It was a joyous occasion. Mother was present and everyone was rejoicing. Mother was so happy with everyone's contribution. She was radiating so much light. The whole city was glowing and radiating. Many new pieces had fallen in place. The city had grown and increased in light tremendously. Mother had also received some new pieces in her crown, which was shining brightly. And she praised everyone for their tremendous input and work, and everyone was very honored and joyful. There's a whole new section in the Holy City where information from the various sacred libraries is kept. This section has been growing rapidly. Although the information is ancient, a lot of it is from eons and eons ago, this section in the Holy City is fairly new, as it grows and changes when information is added. Having all this information gathered together makes it even more powerful. The oracles are said to be in the Holy City and in the other realms. It doesn't require time. Time does not exist there. What in our world seems to be only a second, there it feels like hours. So my brothers and sisters, Mother does have new gems in her crown because those gems were being returned by the beings we call the Kachinas, the bird tribes, the whale beings, the flower beings, the mushroom beings, the multiple insect-like beings that came back after being off-planet and kept in safety by Mother. They held her crown jewels. When you look at one of those jewels up close, which we photographed, they live. It's like these tiny little sperm-like things inside. Those are creational codes. And for those of you that have purchased the Aruba Serena book, look carefully at that crown. Because in a few months, when you look at your book again, that crown will have changed. There are going to be new gems in it. So I'd like to share with you...
Could I just ask one thing?
Yes, of course. Please jump in any time.
Well, I mean, it's the idea that this well-known idea, but this city is so far only within the etheric, right?
Ruchir, I would have been able to answer you very clearly 3 days ago. I'm not entirely sure what to call what, because of the fact that etheric and matter have merged in some way. So all I can tell you is that it is hidden from man at the current moment. You know,
okay,
I mean,
what I was actually getting at is that not so much the etheric, but if time doesn't exist there, then what exactly would be the case when this city is, like, here, so to speak? I mean, would we then have time?
Well, the experience of time doesn't exist there because Mother lives in compressed time. And the compressed time is the total, full awareness to the moment. And we have described this to our listeners on past episodes as that which in the moment when you can see that perhaps there's going to be an accident, a car accident that you're in the car of, it's like those moments before the impact last forever. You have all this incredible time to buckle up, to get things out of the way and so on, because it's just like it's about 5 minutes long, but it could be only 5 seconds. That's because the imminent threat has put you absolutely fully with every ounce of awareness and focus into that moment. So time, because we spoke about that on 2 shows ago, has been coordinated between realms. So it's not that we're on different times. It's just that Mother compresses time. So an hour will feel like hours because of that.
Okay. Now, there was another thing which I think I should sort of introduce a little bit. Let's see. Well, first of all, we've talked about this transfiguration, of course. I mean, that's one of the stages beyond humanness, right? Which would be a transfiguration of the fields. But I always have the impression that at some point it's going to go further and actually very physically transfigure as well. Like the human body, for example. But at the same time, I've also remember us having discussions saying that it would be nice if one could live, like, you know, roam the forest during thunderstorms and not have to deal with the kind of vulnerability that so far characterizes the human experience. Like, you need shelter and you need this and that. But when you're talking about this palace, it seems very human, so to speak, to me. Like, there's bedrooms and there's servants and there's nurseries, whereas my association is always that it's somehow like in a stage beyond that where a lot of those things aren't really necessary anymore.
Let's take a look at that, because that's a very good question. And I'm sure it's also come in the minds of those who are listening to some of this. Let's take a look at that right after this break.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almine's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com.
So, here, just repeat that question and summarize it for us one more time.
I was just wondering about the fact that I personally always have this association of eventually going beyond humanity in the physical in terms of transfiguration, and therefore also going beyond the kind of quote-unquote human experience, and yet when this palace is being described, it seems very human, with bedrooms and servants and nurseries and such. And I was wondering how what's up with that?
Okay. Well, let's take a look at the issue of those who serve mother and father. First of all, the government on earth that is coming in as the sacred government of the mother and the father here on earth not only govern the earth, they govern all of the cosmos. It's just that the easy way to govern all of the cosmos is to have an archetype for it where everything that happens out there happens here as well. And you govern here and then it governs everything. So if you have a proxy, it's the easiest way to govern something very large. If everything that happens out there is reflected here, but you've made it that when you change it here, it changes out there, that's the way to do it. So let us take a look at somebody that comes into that inner habitat, so the angels of the throne, for example. Let us say that Father is in, and I'm giving this as an example from my interaction with them, my brothers and sisters. It's not just something I'm making up. So let's say, for instance, Father sees when he glances over the earth, because he is administering. He's the prime administrator. It's a little bit like the president and the prime minister, you know, of a country. He's the prime minister. Mother is the president. And so he is in charge of making sure that everything is implemented. Let's say that he looks into his through a window in his study and sees areas on earth where things are not being implemented. Now, so that mother and father don't carry everything on their own shoulders, which is not the goal. You know, they're wanting us to grow up and take us, become these pillars of the temple. Father would have an assistant, one of the angels of the throne, or three of the angels of the throne. They would take this information to the ring that has the government section in it. There are beings that deal with this part of the laws of reality, this part of the laws of reality, this one. And so the three angels would take the three different components that were out of balance to those people and say, this needs to be done, this needs to be done, this needs to be done. But that means Father has to just observe it. He doesn't have to personally take the message there, so he doesn't have to interact, so that preserves his privacy. Secondly, the governments that are there, the sacred government, is exactly for that reason. Father doesn't have to do everything himself. So let's take something like food. For instance, this palace has a dining room. It has multiple dining rooms. So let's take something like food. Let's take something like pools and waterfalls. because they are there too in the garden, and there are beautiful bathing areas. Do people need to bathe? Do people need to eat? When they are, you know, gods, or specifically mother and father. Well, there's an entire section in the Book of Life of humanity's contribution to existence that Mother had me write in with the group of the Masters, and she left it up to us as to what it is we wanted to put in, and then when we had finished our work, she simply changed a few little things here and there. And what it was is the experiences of humanity we wish to perpetuate. Let me give you an example. I can live my whole life out of body if I want to. Food will taste like cardboard, unless that's written in the Book of Life that it doesn't. Before those things were written in, Ruchir, food was tasteless. I used to have some of the gods, you know, come and, I mean, they, what's the point of eating? They found it extremely silly because it tasted like nothing, and they didn't actually need the experience to stay alive, so why do it? Sexuality was about a 1/16 of what a human could feel. That's what sex out of body feels like. You know, water can run over you, and there's etheric water, so it would still splash off of you. If there's etheric water and you're physical, well, then it will run through you. But if you're speaking about the storm in the forest has also, if you're more etheric, so is the water of the storm and the forest you're in. You know, if it isn't, if you're etheric and the water's physical, it will certainly just go right through you and you won't get wet. You still
What I actually meant there is just the kind of the vulnerability and fragility associated with the human body.
Well, it isn't there even now. Because disease and death have, as their real part, been done away with, Ruchir, it is our belief systems that makes it so. The body is not fragile. And, you know, I used to take groups of people into the Stony Indians' medicine wheel grounds way up in the Rocky Mountains with their permission, and we used to be there. But I was astonished, you know, because I would cook them 3 meals a day, but all of them having multiple courses on an open fire, and I'd bathe in the river and you know, wash my clothes in the river, and the discomfort that those students felt all the time. You know, I finally drove them to a hotel to get their clothes laundered and their have a hot shower because of the complaints that were coming. And because they were resisting every bit of the journey. And for me, you know, I'm one with nature. I don't need a toilet. I don't need a shower, or I don't need even really a coat if I just make sure that I'm in unison with the wind and the water. It is definitely not something that is there. It is in our belief systems.
Okay.
So, you know, Mother has had us keep everything about humanness that has been wonderful. And it has become a way of life for the etheric realms because of humans. The feel of somebody's touch on your skin, or the warmth of a cozy blanket, or the warmth of fire, and it's so cherishing, or the wonderful feeling of water on your skin. The issue of the five senses is very particular to humankind in the way of its intensity. And also the intensity of the inner senses, which are the emotions. That's very particular to humans. And it is our great gift, because we spend hours making lists of what we want to keep. And Mother tweaked it here and there, and it's in the Book of Life. So there is food, and there is joy of cooking and eating. And it's, thank you very much, gift from humanity.
Okay. Now, so ultimately, I actually just interrupted you, so...
No, that's fine. Was there anything else about that?
No,
is that
not
answered?
Right now.
Okay. Well, let me give you the following. This is from our engineer, who's the oracle. I asked Mother if she wanted me to do anything for her. See, the oracles and the masters have been all over the world, going back and forth and back and forth, gathering things that they've taken to the holy city out of these libraries, and some out of repositories that were separate from the libraries, but mostly it's been in the libraries. And she called me to her chamber and asked me to sit in front of her. As I was sitting there, I had quite a lot of time to look around and see how the chamber was constructed. This chamber is circular and huge. In the middle, there is a circular platform. It has four steps higher than the rest of the floor, and Mother sits in the center on a large throne. Father sits to her left on a bit smaller throne. To Mother's right, there is a stand with sacred fire. And now I'm going to interrupt myself, and I'm going to go to an entirely different oracle, entirely different place on earth. And this is a piece out of her facts to me. She says, I noticed the stand with sacred fire on Mother's right. The hall we were in was very large, ceilings tall. The middle part of the ceiling was dome-like and made of material resembling blue-stained glass. It was divided in sections that had several structures drawn on them, some clearly maps. The hall was divided with many pillars, some very tall and some shorter. They had paintings on them. So here, now we go back to the engineer oracle, and she says, the chamber wall is divided into 96 sections by vertical half columns. I didn't count these sections, I just knew there is 96 of them. Four half columns are wider. The rest of the half columns are narrower, all the same size. The columns go from floor to ceiling. Space between each column has paintings on it. I observed a painting in space number one, and I've drawn it. I also looked up and observed a ceiling. It looked like some sort of map. I felt that it was like a map of the cosmos. When I made a drawing of it when I got back. When I was sitting in front of Mother, I watched her working. First, a tall angel came. Mother gave him directions. He bowed and went away. When Mother was sitting on a throne, she sometimes moved her hands slightly or closed her eyes. But overall, she was sitting still on the throne. Next, I saw a tall lord who came. Mother gave him instructions. He bowed and left. Overall, she was not moving much. At the time I was there, Father was not sitting in his throne, but he was to my right in the chamber behind the platform, and he was very busy doing something. That is her experience. And she's made engineering drawings very carefully. The map on the ceiling on this dark blue stained glass in the dome. Now, my brothers and sisters, the interesting thing of it is the big dome is surrounded by little domes. And when the engineer went back there the second time, was able to map out the what was in the little domes as well. But it looks like a star system on this map. There are dots, and then the dots are joined by lines. Let's take a look at what is in Mother's treasure chambers. We'll take a look at some of it right after these messages.
Almeen continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From his background in the intangible functions of being, Almin is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almin, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Almin at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
Welcome back. So, my brothers and sisters, Mother has been gathering all over the world and from many eons of existence many beautiful sacred objects. There isn't a temple in the holy city, in that a temple is designed to reach deity. This is a temple. The entire city is. And within it, deity dwells. So it's not as though there is a temple there or something like that, but there is a magnificent place that is like a basement, and in that it is underneath the city. And what it has is all the exquisite white magic, incorruptible magic objects that have been gathered through the ages. And Mother has gathered them. Every bit of the magic in those objects come from her or the Father. So it's not like the objects have magic that they don't. But some of the oracles have been permitted to see some of it. I've seen a great deal of it. So I will share with you some of the things that are in the basement of the city. I'll just read this little tiny piece here. Okay, so it says, I found myself in the basement of Mother and Father's palace, in front of a door, behind which I yesterday saw, on the table, the gold plate with the large red stone. The door was locked, and I saw the following key that opened it. And then the key is drawn here, and it has, in Mother's language, it is Kutu Uputapaka. I went inside the room and touched the big red stone. I felt a red field, tube-like, surrounding me. I stood still inside this tube-like red energy field for some time. And then it transported her. And next she found herself swimming to a large red snake deep in the ocean. And it was so that she could actually enter into this a very sacred place that has the red stone there. So let me tell you about some of the objects that Mother has gathered. My brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you about objects that came from Isis's palace that Mother has gathered. Mother has brought holy objects out of the libraries that are beyond description. They are incredible. For instance, there is something that came out of the White Horse libraries, through which you can go back and forth through cycles of life. It's like a tunnel through the slices of bread, of a bread that is standing vertically on its end. You know, those are the moments, past moments, forward moments. There's this tunnel that permits you to go through. That became a very large problem when the White Horse libraries became infiltrated, because Isis was in charge of them, entrusted it to Osiris, and he opened it to his family. And from there, a lot of very bad, destructive things were done. This is, for example, what is there in Mother's treasure trove, if you will, that looks like a majestic temple with these holy objects in. Mother at one time, and this is a year or two ago, told me that the objects are being gathered because they are for the gods and goddesses on earth to be able to use to make life more easy and graceful for all of humanity. So all these objects have one thing in mind, to produce comfort and ease for humanity, even though they may not have reached the levels at which those things are not necessary. So there are a set, remember if it was 6 or 12, there were 12. There are 12 large, beautiful paintings. They look like something that... There are paintings of landscapes. They look like something that maybe a great Flemish master would have produced. Beautiful, beautiful paintings of landscapes. If you step through those paintings, you step from one place to another. So let us say, for instance, that you are living in the temple outer ring where the major light workers that embrace these truths prior to them becoming self-evident live. When that is the case, you can visit a friend in Africa or a friend in Ireland by stepping through the painting and stepping out into their living room. That is to make it easy. Not all beings have equal ability to travel at will across space. Especially space has collapsed now, so traveling is easier. But it takes them some effort and time. This is the easy way for people that have not yet gotten that high. Let's say that you, as your major light worker, your family, those that are worthy enough, are in the outer ring, like minor children and so on, are in that outer ring if you wish to have them there. How do they get out of the city? Well, there are 12 paintings they can step right through. They're like gateways. There is another, there's another large convex disc. I'd say it's about 8 foot tall, and it looks like a lens that's convex, meaning it bulges on both sides. And you step through that, you can step anywhere. That means you can step into forests. It doesn't need to be a room. The paintings go into structures. But you can step into the forest. You can step into the middle of the sky. You can step into the middle of the ocean. You just have to envision where it is you're going or intend it. There are discs to stand on that are like moving frisbees, if you want to. They move through the sky at a very, very rapid rate. So you can go through the sky. There are pots that you can cook anything in, and it has an indefinite supply. There are brushes with which you brush the bottom of your feet. Depending on how much you brush it, you will be able to step sort of every 100 yards through the air. There are garments that you put on, and it makes you appear anyway. These are all things, incidentally, that came out of Isis's palace. These are not Mother's treasures. These are Isis's treasures that were gathered into Mother's, because there was so many. Because Isis outlived all of her family. She lived for a very, very long time. And, you know, Rogier, we certainly could speak a little about that on the next show, if you want to, about Isis. But Isis had eons of time to gather these objects. And so Mother took them all in. They're in a separate section. Mother's codes of existence and things like that, you know, they're different. I'm giving you Isis's treasures that are currently in the repository in the Holy City. And so there are garments that you can put on that will make you look like anything you want to look like. Let's say you put garments on and you want to be appearing to be a 30-foot giant, to interact with another 30-foot giant, that's the way you will appear. There's an exquisite necklace that Isis used to wear, and that necklace, as long as you wear it, all your thoughts and feelings immediately materialize, and they stay put. There's a set of six bottles of green fluid in gold filigree bottles. Glass bottle with gold filigree around it to strengthen it, and inside emerald green like fluid with a gold stopper. There are six of those. That fluid will enable you to materialize anything you want. Let's say you have starving masses, you can materialize tables and tables and tables of food for them. But they need to eat the food right then, because that one doesn't last. It lasts, I believe, 6 days. But I don't know now, because it did last 6 days when I saw it, but that was long ago. It was like a few years ago. So my brothers and sisters, that one will materialize, but it won't materialize everything permanently, whereas the necklace will. The necklace is stones, exquisite. They're like pale pink. So they glow like moonstones. Then there is a ring that if you wear it in the sun, sunlight activates it, and it repairs everything instantaneously in the body. Let me just see. We have time maybe for one more.
But sunlight, when there technically isn't one, but or just light, I guess.
There was a time when Mother had us make decisions as to whether or not we would like to have days and nights. No, that's not the decision she had us make. She made that decision that days and nights would still be simulated because of the beauty of the night sky and the moonlight. But she asked us whether we wanted to keep the seasons. And, you know, I think the seasons are magnificent. They're part of the incredible diversity of Earth. And so I asked Mother, please, I spoke to the Masters, they all felt the same. Please, could we keep the seasons? So there is simulated sunlight. I don't know if it will actually come from our sun. I don't know those answers. And unfortunately, we are out of town. Time here. We've got to end
quickly.
Sorry about that. And we'll talk to you again next time, folks. Please come back.
After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Almin experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness. The state of no longer identifying with the ego in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book has been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master and in addition continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nagual and seer, Almin's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Almin's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Almin. Please join us again next week.